is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
I'm afraid I can't tell you. Mr. Cushing's out of town now. I'm not sure. Why don't you call next week? You're welcome. Bye.
Good morning, Gloria.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Cushing.
Did I hear you say on the phone you're not sure when my husband's coming home?
Not entirely.
I thought it was quite definite that he would be in Paris for 2 weeks. That's what his flight tickets were booked for. When is he coming home, dear?
I haven't had confirmation.
Gloria, I can only admire you. You are a perfectly marvelous secretary. I was once, too. I know every trick in the trade. So Tony isn't staying over there 2 weeks.
When did he call you?
He calls every day. Mr. Fletcher wants that.
Well, as my appointment this morning is with Mr. Fletcher, I'll find out from him.
That would be best, Mrs. Cushing.
Tell me, Gloria, are you married?
No.
I think you're very smart. If I were your age, I wouldn't have married either. You can be so free today. And besides, you don't find any man quite as interesting as the man you work for, right?
Wrong, Mrs. Cushing. I respect and admire your husband. He's one of the fairest men I've ever known in my business life. I enjoy working for him.
That's very sweet.
But you know, every woman in the world isn't in love with your husband, no matter what you like to think.
I think you forget yourself, Gloria. Please tell Mr. Fletcher I'm here.
I'll call his secretary.
Claire, how good of you to come down this morning.
Well, it's an old habit, Hugh, from the days when I worked for you. You ring, I come.
Nonsense. You've moved up a long way since then.
Oh, sometimes I wonder. But you called at just the right moment. My luncheon engagement had been broken.
I'm sorry.
And don't invite me to yogurt at the desk.
Oh, I know you better than that. Claire, I asked you to come down to the office because I'm disturbed.
What about you?
Tony. He called last evening as usual and said he was coming home.
When?
This week.
I thought he was to stay for 2 weeks.
He says it's not necessary.
Hugh, you're giving the orders.
So I thought. I may have to get a little tough as his superior.
Superior in every way, darling.
I want to know what's on his mind these days.
Well, I guess I can tell you that. A girl named Kate Wakefield.
Oh, yes, I recall you mentioned her. So was he. What's this girl Kate got that the others didn't have?
You'd have to ask Tony that.
I don't propose to ask him anything. He can have every woman in town for all I care. If it doesn't interfere with business.
Exactly the way I feel, but Kate is something else again.
You mean he's serious?
Oh, how could he be? I'll never give him a divorce, but serious enough so that I invited her to have lunch with me today. Unfortunately, she called this morning and broke the engagement.
She sounds smart.
Maybe, but I persuaded her to come for cocktails tomorrow.
To what purpose?
Hugh, she could be very bad for Tony.
Wouldn't you say that about any girl Tony was interested in?
Oh, of course, but I wouldn't worry. This girl, Kate, can do Tony some real damage.
Go on.
Now, I told you her late husband was involved in drug traffic.
I recall that. But it's only a rumor, isn't it?
I think I could find out something pretty positive. And about Kate, too. She may have been involved.
Do you know where all this might have happened?
What does it matter, Hugh?
It might not matter. Or it might.
Imagine anything like drugs touching Tony's career or this business that you've built up so successfully.
It's possible, of course.
Leave it to me, Hugh. And in return?
You've always found me generous, Claire.
I don't need your generosity, darling. Just your authority. Keep Tony in Paris for a while.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
It's open.
Hi, Jeff.
Lady, come on in. Wait till I get those sneakers off that chair. They're wet.
You cannot wear sneakers at this time of year.
My feet get cold without them.
Well, what about shoes?
I told you, Kate, I got two left. I don't know what happened to the rights. Have a seat.
I got back from the office as soon as I could. I hope I haven't kept you waiting too long.
Waiting? What's that? Sometimes I come alive, sometimes I don't. This is one of the times I do. Make yourself at home.
Jeff, last night you told me that Trudy had brought your tape recorder back to you.
That's right. I wanted to make you a little song.
Instead, you heard that tape that I had left in it.
Right. Weird. Real weird.
Well, that's what you said last night.
Well, that's the way it sounded to me, but forget it.
No, I can't. It was Tom's voice you heard on that tape. My husband.
Look, when I opened the player and saw that the tape in there was different from the ones I used, I was curious. Like I say, forget it. But it's weird.
Well, why do you keep saying that?
Well, for a lot of reasons.
Jeff, this tape is about something very serious, and, well, you've acted so strangely about it that I had to come and talk to you. I ought to tell you that what you heard on that tape isn't true.
You mean what your own husband said isn't true?
No, it isn't.
But it's his voice.
Oh, well, yes. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, this gets weirder and weirder.
But why do you keep using that word?
I don't know any other that fits.
Jeff, it's like this. My husband was on drugs.
Rotten.
Yes, it was. And from there, he went to running drugs.
Yeah, well, that's the next step down. You get hooked and they got you.
Anyhow, Tom was so deep into it that he took his own life. Now, a certain man thinks Tom left a big load of drugs hidden somewhere.
And this tape is going to prove you know where, right?
I didn't know anything about it. I still don't. Jeff, how could Tom have said that?
You want me to tell you what it proves?
What?
Are you willing for me to play it once again?
Yes, here. Put it on the machine.
Okay, now, it's poor quality tape. And I don't know where it was done. But I know what I hear. And here it comes.
It's there, Steve. Waiting. Worth a fortune. I'm going back. But if anything happens, I don't make it. I'll leave a letter for you, where it is. Kate knows about it. She can help you.
That's it. And it is your husband's voice?
Oh, yes, there's no mistake about that. But, Jeff, every word is untrue.
Not every word. But it may not have been what your husband said.
What do you mean?
I know tape, Kate. And I bet this tape has been cut and spliced.
I don't understand that.
Look, today they can take anything out of a tape they don't want in it, or put anything in by patching. Now, you take a singer, she hits a sour note. They take it out, they put a good one in instead.
Just a single note?
Sure, it's done all the time. Now, this tape has been altered and then copied. I can hear it. I'll show you.
It's there, Steve. Waiting.
Hear it? There's a break there. He might have said where it is, but that's been lifted. Now, let's play the rest.
It's a fortune. I'm going back. But if anything happens, I don't make it. I'll leave a letter for you, where it is.
Listen now.
Kate knows about it. She can help you.
Two breaks. Did you hear him? Now, what he might have said, what he probably said, was Kate knows nothing about it. She cannot help you.
Jeff, are you sure?
It's a poor patching job, Kate, but whatever your husband said, it isn't on that tape.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Joan Shea as Trudy, Terry Keane as Claire, and Bill Griffiths as Ned. Also appearing were Mason Adams and Richard Niles. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Margaret LaWorth, audio engineer Elvin Campbell, and brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
And Maggie, get ready to go grocery shopping. We're going to get out of the house.
Are you going to just leave him?
Oh, he'll be all right. He'll have to do something for himself when there isn't anyone around for him to yell for.
Peg! Honey!
Oh, goodness, I'll bet you've run up and downstairs 50 times this morning already. What do you suppose he wants now?
I don't know. I'm going to ignore it.
Peg! Honey!
What did I do with my shopping?
On the cupboard by the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Maggie! Hey, Maggie!
Oh, well, I guess I'd better go up.
Oh, you stay right here now. I warned him not to go skiing.
He'd be in pain and need something.
Aunt Maggie has a sprained ankle, not a broken leg. Doctor, just don't take it easy and stay off it. Now, he didn't say Bob was to stay in bed and have everyone waiting on him hand and foot. It's only 10 in the morning. I'm worn out already.
Hey! Aunt Maggie!
Well, I'm going up if you're not.
No, I'll go up. You get your coat and your boots on. We're going grocery shopping. Now, you be ready when I get back down, Maggie. Yes, I'm coming, dear. I'm coming.
Oh, gosh, honey, where have you been? I've been yelling and yelling.
I know, Your Royal Highness, and what is your wish, sire?
Are you mad at me?
No, Bob, I haven't had a minute to call my own this morning. I no sooner get back downstairs and you're hollering again, and I have a million things to do. What is it now?
Well, Could you pull the window shade down? The sun's coming in, and it said, right in my eyes.
Yes. All right.
And Maggie and I are going grocery shopping.
You going to leave me alone?
Well, now you're going to be all right. You've got things to read.
No, I haven't. I've read them.
Well, I'll find you something you haven't read.
I don't feel like reading anyway.
What do you want?
I want to be entertained.
Oh, you do. Well, Miss Perkins can entertain you.
Miss Perkins?
Yes, when I phoned your office to say you wouldn't be in, Miss Perkins said she'd better come out to see you then because there were some papers or reports or something. You should look over, you know, and sign or something.
What?
Well, dear, I don't know. Anyhow, she'll be out this morning.
I don't think you should be gone when she's here.
Oh, honey. Miss Perkins? I trust you. And if I didn't trust you, I would certainly trust her.
Well, that's not what I meant. I think it looks funny for me to be entertaining my secretary up here in my bedroom.
You're not entertaining her. She's bringing some work from the office, and who's it going to look funny to? Who's going to know?
What if the milkman comes or some neighbor drops in?
Well, I think Miss Perkins can handle the situation.
No, it's Miss Perkins I'm thinking about, not me. You know her. She'll get all embarrassed and flustered and probably act as though something is going on.
Oh, well, you get out of bed, then. Go downstairs.
Doctor said to stay off my foot.
You can hop downstairs, then. And Maggie and I will help you, and you'll keep your foot on the footstool. You want to get dressed or stay in a bathrobe?
No, neither one. I think I should stay in bed.
Look, I'm going grocery shopping. Do you want me to help you downstairs before I go?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, swing your good foot out of bed, and then I'll help you out.
No, I can do it.
Take it easy. Now, don't stand on it. Here's a cane. I borrowed it from Mr. Blakely.
I don't need a cane, for Pete's sake.
Use it. I borrowed it. Now, you're not supposed to put any weight on that left foot, or at least not much. Here, come on, get your robot.
I don't know why you have to go grocery shopping when I'm sick.
I don't know why you had to go skiing at some fancy ski resort when you hadn't been skiing for years and years and years.
All right. Now, listen. What did you tell Miss Perkins?
About what?
How I hurt my ankle.
Well, I didn't tell her that you slipped on the soap in the shower up there, if that's what you mean.
Yes, that's what I meant.
All right, dear.
It's not as glamorous as though I heard it whizzing down a dangerous ski slope, huh?
Right, I didn't want to spoil your image. But we can just be grateful you did slip in the shower so you didn't have to get out there on that ski slope, huh?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Well, I'm not going to say it again. I said it for 2 days before you went on that ski trip, and you still went anyway. Now, come on, dear. Let me get you downstairs, your foot on the footstool, and then Aunt Maggie and I'll go get groceries.
I hate being left alone.
Well, you won't be alone. Miss Perkins will be here. She can get you anything you want.
I think when a man is sick, his wife should hover over him like a guardian angel.
Well, I've been hovering over you, and I'm going to take off, and I'll come back in for a landing in about 3 hours.
And then you'll spend another hour unloading and putting groceries away.
Honey, you're going to be all right. Okay?
I guess so. Try to get home sooner than 3 hours, huh?
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Aunt Maggie, can you hold the door open?
Yes, yes. You shouldn't try to carry two heavy sacks of groceries.
I know it. Oh, that sack's going to rip open. I know. I knew it.
Oh, I don't know what's happened to paper sacks lately. They're certainly not as strong as they used to be.
No, I guess the paper companies can't get as good materials or something. They're using something different, it must
be. I didn't close the door. Wondered where the draft was coming from. Well, what's the matter?
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
That's the point. Neither do I. Bob? Miss Perkins?
That's funny.
Mrs. Baxter?
Yes?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you're home.
What is it? Something wrong? Bob all right? Did he fall or anything?
No, nothing like that. He's just so upset.
About what? Just because I was gone?
Oh, for goodness sakes, you waited on him hand and foot all morning.
No, it's about the television. He was watching it when I arrived, and we haven't gotten any office work done at all.
Miss Perkins, come here. Look at this.
Mrs. Baxter's home.
I'm home, dear. What is the matter?
I think you'd better come in the living room.
I think I'd better put the frozen things away.
Oh, we'll do that in a minute, Amelia. Come on in.
Mr. Baxter's been watching queer shows. He still is, one right after the other.
Dear, turn it down.
Look at that poor woman. She's hysterical.
Exactly. 10 seconds to decide. Are you going on a trip to Paris or not? Oh, come on. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7.
That is sadistic.
Now, Miss Perkins came out here bringing work from the office.
Did you see that poor woman? She kept winning and winning, and he kept building up this trip to Paris, and it turns out to be Paris, Texas.
Well, the quiz shows do that all the time. Honey, the point
is... there was one the other day I was watching.
Has this country gone completely crazy? Who are all these people who go to quiz shows? Don't they have jobs? Don't they have something else they have to do?
Why are you getting yourself in such a lather over quiz shows? I think I read somewhere there are about 22 of them on. Apparently, they're very popular.
Well, I haven't been home in the daytime to see them before.
I don't see anything to get so worked up about.
Well, the one he was watching when I came in, some man on it got so many things just for knowing what Abraham Lincoln's mother's name was.
$8,000 he got. $8,000, Miss Perkins.
Oh, I think he had to answer a few things before that, didn't he?
The point is, $8,000 in about 5 minutes. I worked like a dog all year, and in about 5 minutes, this
guy...
Why,
honey, you can hardly compare anything like that.
I'm in the wrong business, I think. I ought to just go around being on quiz shows.
Oh, well, it's not that easy to get on. I think you have to apply, and then you get interviewed, and then you try out.
Not only $8,000, Miss Perkins. You forgot to mention this guy got a trip to Hawaii, a car, a stereo, a complete dining room set.
That's what always gets me. Don't these people who win furniture have any furniture to begin with? I mean, if we did win some, where would we put it, you know?
I think they sell it, don't they?
I have no idea. And Maggie and I have some groceries to put away anyway.
Yes, frozen things.
I know.
We've been tracking snow all through the house.
Oh, dear, well, let's get our things up. And, dear, Miss Perkins is here to go with some things from your office.
Yeah, I know. I think I could cry for that poor woman who thought at long last she was going to Paris, France.
Why don't you cry for Miss Perkins who's had to waste her time?
No, it doesn't matter about me. It's just that there are some letters he ought to dictate. A few things that should get off.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Miss Perkins. Get out the things I have to work on. At least I know what I'm going to do when I retire. Go around being on quiz shows.
Well, by that time, dear, they'll be gone. Television will have thought up something new.
I'll put the frozen things away first, if I can find them. Mm. I think they're all in one sack. That's what I told the counter boy.
Mm. When he retires. And Bob retires, oh dear.
What's the matter?
I never thought about it. It seems so far off.
Then why worry about it now?
He'll be home then. He'll be home all day, every day. What in the world will I do with him? He'll go crazy. Or I will. Oh, my.
Don't trouble until trouble troubles you.
All right then, Maggie.
Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold.
The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrill. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrill has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrill's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrill, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Love and Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Love and Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Love and Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Emily. Oh.
Good morning, dear.
Where were you, darling?
I walked Jennifer down the corner. She's all excited about going back to school.
Oh. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. Good. Really. Do you have time for a good breakfast?
I have time, but not the appetite.
Here's the juice.
Susie's at school, too?
Mm-hmm. And Bobby's in town. Shopping, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have lunch with your father.
Darling, are you sure you want to be here all day, all by yourself?
Yes, I am. And I don't want you to worry about me, Jason. If anything happens, I can call you or Angela or even Marsh.
What, do you want Angela to stay with us? She offered to, if it's what you want.
I know. She's been at our beck and call for the last 6 months. Let's let her have a little peace and quiet. One slice or two.
Oh, one's enough.
Jason, what do you think Bobby should do?
Well, I'd like to see him stay on at Harvard, but no.
Jason.
I know. You want him to do what's best for himself.
Well, don't you?
If he knows.
He's 19.
And what will he want to do when he finds out?
Do we have to tell him?
I don't know, darling. Sometimes I think it would be better for them not to know, and then again...
Oh, knowing that I'm sick and what it is. Oh, darling, it's going to be so hard on them.
Yes, but they're going to have to know. And when they do, if they feel shut out...
Well, you said that the tumor is growing very slowly. It could be years. Oh, here's some apple jelly.
Emma, I still can't believe it. Here we are having toast and coffee.
Well,
and
what else can we do? Life does go on. Just because we know I'm going to die...
There's part of me that just won't believe it.
Oh, darling, there's a lot of me that just can't believe it. I woke up last night. Suddenly. I don't know why. And I could hear my heart beating, Jason. It was so real. So steady. So normal.
Oh, darling. Why didn't you wake me?
Oh, you were sound asleep. For a long time, I forgot about the brain tumor. It was like when the children were little and I'd wake up and listen to see if they were all right. The pattern of living is still strong, darling.
Well, Bobby, here's to your first year at Harvard.
I haven't even been there a full year, Grandfather.
Well, we can still hope, can't we?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Are you having trouble with your grades?
Oh, no, they're okay. But I wonder if I should stay on.
Oh, now, you can't be serious. Why, a Harvard education is one of the keys to success in this world.
Well, maybe.
There's no maybe about it. Look at the alumni. It's a roster of most of the prominent men in our country.
Well, I'm not sure I want to be prominent.
What?
I'm not that certain that I want to be a big shot. Maybe I just want to get along, work at something I like, and not worry about being a success.
I can't believe... Do you realize that more than half the college students in the country would give their eye teeth to be in your shoes?
Well, maybe.
Well, it's no laughing matter, Bobby. We are discussing your future.
It is my future, Grandfather.
What do your parents think of this?
I haven't had much chance to talk to them. I wanted to last night, but Dad seemed to have something on his mind.
What do you figure on doing if you drop out of Harvard, or haven't you thought that far?
I might still want to be a doctor, but not right away.
Don't you realize you can't drop in on a medical education as if it were a cocktail party?
I'll figure out some way.
Medical education takes long enough without stretching it out by indecision.
I know.
Not to mention the expense. If you leave Harvard now, you'll throw away several thousand dollars.
I know, Grandfather. But I have to figure out what I really want to do.
Well, while you're figuring it out, your father is paying the bills.
Bobby, it all sounds just like your grandfather.
What do you think I should do, Mom?
Do you know what you want to do, hon?
Well, I guess I want to do some kind of work in ecology or the environment.
Well, I know you've been interested in that, but it's a large field, isn't it?
Yes, and it's getting bigger all the time.
Your father says the whole field of environmental medicine, sort of a public health specialty, is expanding.
I'd still be a doctor.
And that's what you want?
Well, I'm not sure that Harvard's the place for me.
Well, it has one of the best medical schools.
According to Grandfather, it's the only medical school.
If you leave now, dear, in the middle of the term, you'll lose all your credits. It'll just be a wasted year.
I've got plenty of time.
There's no such thing as plenty of time. It always runs out, sooner or later.
Hi.
Oh, hey, hi. Your days are getting shorter, dear.
Yes, I
hello.
I thought, maybe Jefferson could squeeze by without me for a while. Well, how did your lunch go, Bobby?
I was just telling Mom. I think I ruined it for Grandfather.
Oh, accidentally or on purpose?
I just said I wasn't sold on Harvard.
That would do it.
Jason, don't you think Bobby should at least finish this year at Harvard?
Yes, I do, darling. Then you can decide, Bobby, if you leave now.
I know, zilch. I'd like to find something for the summer, maybe up in the Northwest.
Away from home?
Sure, Mom. You won't miss me. I'd like to get some kind of job in forestry.
Bobby, why don't you look for something around here?
Oh, there's nothing like that near Chicago. And now that you've gotten used to not having me to pick up after...
Yes, who picks up after you when you're away from home?
I do. A guy's got to learn to be on his own.
Now, Bobby's old enough to make some of his own decisions.
Not while his father is still paying the bills, Caroline.
No, that's no way to help your children grow up, Robert.
Well, it worked in my day.
Yes, dear.
So I've learned that your yes, dear, means that's what you think, Buster.
That's pretty close.
Where are Lynn and Kurt?
Well, Lynn's with Jefferson, working on the newsletter, and Kurt, I think he and Ann are skiing out on the river slope.
Wouldn't you think he'd be trying harder to find work?
Well, Lynn says he is.
I wonder where he's looking.
Robert, couldn't you help him? After all, he doesn't have many connections here in Chicago.
Well, there isn't much of a demand for ski instructors.
Well, I'm sure he can do other things.
Yeah, such as what? He's not exactly the type I'd enjoy recommending to any of my friends. If I want to keep them as friends.
Oh, you're making it very difficult for Lynn. You know she wants to move into her own apartment. And until Kurt gets some kind of work, they'll have to stay on here.
Yes, I know.
Robert, you're going to have to let go of Lynn sometimes. And the longer you hold on, the harder the break will be.
I'm not holding on, Caroline, just because I think she made a mistake in marrying Kurt.
Well, oh, did you know Anne has been seeing Dr. Gonzalez?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least your daughter has some sense.
Now, what would you think of my helping Dr. Gonzalez to establish a children's clinic someplace where it's needed in Chicago?
Oh, has he asked you to?
No, it's my idea.
Well, then you'd better find out from him before you go charging ahead.
Yes, I suppose so.
So, Annie is interested in Dr. Gonzalez. Yes, you'd better be careful there. He might think you're trying to influence him in her direction by dangling a clinic in front of him.
Why, Robert, that never entered my mind. I'm doing it because he saved Jennifer.
Are you sure? You could be using it as a way to hold on to Anne.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Walt.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Greetings to my faithful listeners from Vanity Fair's modest author. Ladies, gentlemen, I don't mind owning that the complexities of Becky Sharp's entanglements have quite wearied me. Thus, while she explains to Mr. Sedley the depth and danger of the quicksand she presently is in, I intend to learn how Matilda Crawley now feels regarding Becky's refusal of Sir Pitt's marriage proposal. At this moment, she's talking to worthy Miss Arabella Briggs, who is delighted to be admitted once more into the confidence of her friend and patroness.
It astonishes you, does it, Briggs, that Becky refused my fool of a brother?
Indeed, yes. Now that I know you'd not have objected to the match,
Becky would have made a capital Lady Crawley. Pitt's other wives could do nothing with him. Becky winds him round her little finger.
She does have a way with her.
And more wit in that little finger than you, my poor Briggs, have in all your two hands. She'd have held her own amongst those pompous, stupid Hampshire people.
I do suspect she declined Sir Pitt's proposal because there was an obstacle in the form of a previous attachment. Otherwise, no young woman in her senses would refuse such an advantageous proposal.
Very acute of you, Arabella. I tell you in confidence that Becky has given her heart to a young soldier.
Rawdon?
Rawdon? Oh, I withdraw my compliment. What a mindless observation. It's been a great disappointment to me that they are not better friends.
Not that I'd want anything serious betwixt them, but ever since they met at Queen's Crawley, I've wished for a charming flirtation to amuse me.
They seem quite close friends, Matilda.
They manage to seem so only to please me, I fear.
I'm not so sure. At Christmas, I noticed how the captain looked at Miss Becky with what could only be called a tender gaze.
Stuff and nonsense. You're far too romantic and sentimental. You'd have accepted, Pitt, wouldn't you, Briggs?
Would it not be a privilege to be your sister-in-law?
Oh, a pretty evasion. Tell me, have these romantic thoughts brought to mind that young writing master you adored when we were in school?
I fear so. Yes, dear... Dear Percival.
Oh, don't cry, Arabella. Always you cry when I mention him. Surely you can't forever live in the past.
I can. I do. Still, I have a lock of his yellow hair and his letters that I cherish.
Yellow hair, yellow letters, tra-la.
He did write such a poor hand, though he was a writing master. It made him so ashamed.
Oh, I see you now. A fresh-faced lass of 18. Every Sunday in chapel, you and that hectic young man quavering out of the same psalm book.
You ask me not to cry, yet you keep talking of him.
Ah, come, confess it. You like to talk of him. But tears won't bring him back from his watery grave. Pity he couldn't swim when he fell out of that punt. Well, you might now be Mrs. Percival Pomeroy.
Matilda, do stop. I pray you.
Very well, very well. I'll talk of Rebecca. I am determined she shall not be a maiden lady pining in her old age over yellow, illegible letters and private gaudy kinder. You may as well know that the young rascal left her because she had no dowry. I've promised Becky I shall provide her one. That will fetch him back.
How kind and generous you are.
My partiality for Rebecca unlocks my purse. I've said and mean it. She is like a daughter to me. And I vow she shall have her heart's desire.
But Becky's heart's desire is Rawdon, not to mention the money Miss Crawley has willed him. If only that lady's tender vow will embrace the truth when she learns it. And learn it she will. Let us hear in a moment Mr. Sedley's advice as to how she shall learn it. In the Sedley Library, Becky has revealed all of her predicament to Mr. Sed. Now, that gentleman has sat for some time in brooding silence. Now, Becky can bear it no longer.
Mr. Sed, are you disgusted with me and quite finished with me?
For shame, Rebecca. Questions unworthy of you, but I shall answer it. Disgusted, no. Finished with you, never. But surprised at your ill-considered behavior... Yes.
Surprised at my recklessness in marrying Rawdon?
No, you love him. And nothing Becky Sharp does is done by half measures. Folly to marry him at this time? Granted. Foolishness to let him persuade you? Granted. But that you'd throw caution to the winds? No, I'm not surprised nor even displeased.
Then what of my behavior does surprise you?
You in this state of despair, of fear, almost of defeat. That is not the Becky Sharp I know. My Becky would rally from any blow, rise to a challenge, enjoy it, indeed, relish it to the full. Instead, what do we hear? Miss Sharp wilting before my very eyes. Now, come, Becky. 'Tis said that if a woman has a will, she assuredly will find a way. Well said, especially of Becky Sharp, the other one.
Oh, I know I'm someone else than Becky, and I despise this wilting creature, but Becky, the one you call your Becky, made so many senseless mistakes.
Then let us remedy them. But I cannot begin to help until I've your full cooperation.
You have, you have. I will be Becky again, I promise. She's only been in hiding.
I know, I know. Here, then, is my advice. You must, after certain precautions, confess to Miss Crawley that you are married to her nephew. It must be done before Sir Pitt further muddies the waters, for he'll surely do as you predict. Tell his sister you are married to that chap who doesn't exist, And you will have more lies to undo when the truth comes out.
The precautions, what are they?
You must be rid of that fella, Gordy Kiner. Already you've told Miss Crawley there's a secret. Confess to her quickly that you care not for him, and that secret is you've come to love someone else.
She'll ask who?
Well, promise to tell her in a day or two. Thus does she expect a surprise and is somewhat forewarned. When Rawdon returns from his military mission, you must together tell her the truth. Meanwhile, you'll twine yourself right round Miss Crawley's heart.
But I've tried all along to do that.
Tried, succeeded. Try more, succeed more. Who is the blathering idiot who said, fine words, butter no parsnips? Half the parsnips in society are served and rendered palatable with no other sauce.
Well, I know well how she thrives on flattery, compliments, but no matter how much of that food I may serve her, how will she swallow the parsnips that Rawdon has married a governess when she meant him to marry a lady?
The lady has not a pretty face. In fact, no face at all. She's not your endearing ways, your wit, your daring. Now, you're forgetting three important lucky cards you hold. Her doting attachment to her nephew, her general romantic propensities, and her repeatedly expressed fondness for Rebecca Sharp.
Oh, yes. I have been forgetting. She's so fond of Rawdon, I do think she'll forgive him anything. And she's so used to me, I don't think she could do without me now.
Now you're sounding like my favorite Rebecca.
But when Rawdon and I confess, I don't doubt there'll be a scene. It's Miss Crawley's nature to make scenes. She enjoys them. And there'll be, oh, yes, I can hear it, hysterics.
That pretty laugh at last.
And then a great quarrel. And then a great reconciliation.
Exactly, my view. At all events, do not delay, Becky. It is not politic to wait. The die is thrown. The soonest moment you can after Rawdon returns, apply yourselves to the task of bearding the lioness in her den. Agreed?
Agreed. And in case you've not noticed, that cowardly, weak-willed, faint-hearted imposter is routed. Your favorite Rebecca is back.
My favorite Rebecca as well. Mr. Sed's advice, good advice, who can say? I could, but won't. A novel without suspense has no followers. Tomorrow, my friends, I expect you, and you expect your ever devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.